I had the thought this morning. We came down yesterday with Vika and Tori and took pictures of the outside. And I took a picture of road closed. And I thought about, just this morning, I thought that all of us here crept around those barricades and gathered in the parking lots, and all of us are here to worship. It's kind of a neat thing to me. So I'm going to be reading several quotes that are found inside your devotional and also the scripture that's on the back of your devotional. And the topic today has to do with discovery and response. That's sort of the theme. And as I have been pondering all of these things, I've come down to this. The discovery brings a response, and the response demonstrates and emphasizes or builds the discovery. So it's kind of a neat process that happens, I think. And the things that I'll be reading will be kind of a demonstration of these thoughts. Personal experience prompts a certain kind of a reaction. And in my notes I wrote, we are moved by joy. And I just recalled this morning as I was thinking about this that C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. And in a sense, he was describing something that happened to him, and he couldn't explain it. He didn't understand what it was, and he described it then as joy. He had discovered joy. And so our imaginations are sometimes captured and moved in our imaginations by an experience that we had. Liz's song this morning and her dad's song this morning, didn't that capture your imagination? I'm going home. I mean, that's just kind of something that happens to us that captures our imagination and moves us in some kind of a response. And that's what we'll be talking about today. The quotes I'll read first. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 6, and this is Pastor Tim's paraphrase. We know you're in the family of God because the gospel is not just words to you. It is God's power to you. We saw the Holy Spirit's joy in you. We felt it. And the second one is from a philosopher, Nietzsche, who is famous for having said, God is dead. If Christians would seem to me to be more saved than they are, I might believe in their Savior. The third quote is Hebrews 12:2. We are keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. The scripture verse, Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And moved by joy, he goes and sells absolutely everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman seeking beautiful pearls. And when he found one particular pearl of immense worth, he went out and sold absolutely everything he had and bought it. May God add his blessing to that reading.
Liz's song was exquisitely appropriate for the message today. Joy. Power of the pearl. I remember when Norris Road was nothing but two ruts in the going through the field. When I was a kid, I would go down there and drive around. I used to like to drive around Possum Run and that area and look at the scenery, and I remember Norris Road, and it was just two ruts. Well, years later, when Teresa and I were living at the office and we were planning on moving to some other place, I thought, I'm going to drive down there and take a look at that, just see what's going on down there. So, Teresa, what's the problem there, Ted? Rosebud acting up? Okay. Well, I'll give her a pass simply because of... That is, yeah. Granddaughter, you know. Well, anyway, we went down to, it was Teresa and me and Timmy, and he was, 2 years old? Less than. And we drove around. We're looking for a place to move, to live. And when I said, we went down Norris Road. I said, I'm going to check out Norris Road. We drove down there, and there was this hay field. And in the middle of the hay field was this little sign, just about the size of a notebook paper, and it just said, for sale by owner. Just stuck, remember that? It was just one little sign stuck in that field. And I said, well, let's just for fun, let's just get out and look at this. So we got out of the car, and we walked, we got Timmy out, carrying Timmy, and walked into that field. And I remember something really significant happened. We got into that field, and in the middle of that field, there was a big red-tailed hawk sitting. And we walked on that field, and that hawk just mounted up on its powerful wings and flew up out of the field and glided over the woods. I'll never forget that. And then we walked down to the edge of the woods and looked down, and there was the creek running through the bottom of that little piece of property, and the sun was dancing off the water. And we knew right then, because I had always had a vision that I wanted my boys to grow up in that kind of environment. Because I was privileged, and Judy and I were privileged. We grew up, my young years were on a small farm on Possum Run Road. And I'll never forget those years. And I said, I want my kids to have that same kind of experience. We saw that field, and we saw that woods, at 16 acres. And we were moved by joy. It was such an experience for us to see that place. It was exactly what we wanted. And moved by that joy, I acted on it. No one needed to tell me what to do. And pursuant to our parables this morning, we were kids when we bought that place. I've been married 39 years. I told you, I think we were, how old were we when we bought that place? 28, something like that. And just like the parable, we saw that field. I saw my vision, and we had to gather together absolutely everything we had to buy that field. I'm sure other people had driven by that and seen it and had just kept on driving. But for us, it clicked. And it was the joy that moved us to action. Now, that's the point of the parables today. And I've got to tell you, these parables have been very convicting to me as your pastor. And I'll tell you why as we get into this study. The point of these parables today is the joy of discovering the kingdom. Liz sang beautifully about that joy. And in these parables, moved by that joy, these two men, their lives are completely changed. They go out and they sell absolutely, and Matthew makes a point to use that phrase twice, absolutely everything that they have, they sell in order to buy the field or buy the pearl. Now, what does it mean when you read that and you say, sell absolutely everything you have? Here's what I think it means. The things that they had previously oriented their life around, the things that they had based their life on, they completely, when you discover the joy of the kingdom, these two guys completely reoriented their lives around, and here's the key phrase I want you to get it, want to get a hold of you, another reality. That's what the kingdom is. They discover a pearl, they discover a treasure, and what they're discovering is another reality. And they sell, what does it mean to sell everything you have to grab this other reality? They sold their values and their goals and their commitments that they had plugged into. Listen, that's where the enemy competes with us. He wants you to plug into the reality that the world foists upon you. You know, I was talking to Sandy this week about this, the enemy wants to take our joy. That's his game. And even in the little things of everyday hurly-burly of life, he tries to steal your joy. Don't let him do that. And I think that our joy is stolen when we plug into that other reality. Why? Because we lose sight. We lose sight of the kingdom. I'm gonna illustrate the kingdom to you today, hopefully, under the power of the Holy Spirit. They sold everything that they had oriented their lives around, their values, their goals, their commitments, the things that the world pushes us around with. Their idols. Here, how about that? Idols. Maybe you orient your life around anger or fear. There were years I oriented my life around fear, worry. Maybe you orient your life around anxiety or depression or an unforgiving spirit or an unmerciful spirit or a judgmental spirit or accusing spirit. As long as that is there, the point of these parables, you can't get into that other reality. I'm going to invite you to plug into that other reality today. The Holy Spirit wants you to have this joy because I know, I see it. Listen to the request today. We're constantly pulled back to deal with this stuff, the other reality foisted upon us. And you know, when I was a kid, Mom would read me all the time Aesop's Fables. And you know, at the end of that, at the end of the fable, that, you know, I realized that's what parables are, aren't they? Because at the end of each Aesop fable, the Aesop would say, and the moral of the fable is, well, what's the moral of these parables? This is where I was convicted. If joy is the engine of change, and by the way, the only thing that our faith is about, and the only thing that Jesus' message was about, his kingdom message was all about, was change lives. Changed lives. Jesus told his disciples that, and he felt sorry for them. He said, you're tied down to the mundane. Boy, does that speak to me. Tied down, what imagery, to the mundane. He said, you live in terms of what you can see right in front of you and what you can touch. He said, I'm living on different terms. He goes, I have my sights on another horizon. There's another reality. I don't know how your present reality is dealing with the world. What if there were another reality, the kingdom of heaven, that was real, which was present, and which we could go into here and now? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here. So, if joy is the engine of change of lives, and the power that fuels that engine, okay, or the fuel that makes that engine work in our lives lives in the pearl and lives in the treasure. That's what I realized through these parables. As your pastor, what do I want for you? I had to examine that. Well, I think that I want for you to have a changed life. I want for you to plug into this reality. I want for you to live deeper in the kingdom. But I can't do that. I can't give that to you vicariously or by proxy. This is where I was convicted. Because you know that I stress the spiritual disciplines, don't I? I stress service to the kingdom. I stress and encourage you to serve here at Newville in different capacities. I stress that you serve the charitable foundations, the BNOC and the Salvation Army, and to give to those who are in need. I've stressed those things, and then I realized my job is to show you the pearl. My job is to show you that treasure. Because that's the power. That's where the power lives. And the joy from that power and that pearl and in that treasure will move you then to action, like it did these guys, these two men. I want you to look at the back of your devotional. And I want you to unpack this with me. Because the Holy Spirit has something good for you today. The first one. The kingdom of heaven is like. Now, understand, everything that Jesus says after that is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is not any one of those things. It is all of those things together. It is a chain of events. The kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus says, it's like the following chain of events that happens in a person's life, your life. It happened in my life, and this is no feather in my cap. It's like Paul said to the Thessalonians, I can tell that my gospel didn't come to you in word only, it came to you in power, because the joy of the Holy Spirit is evident in your life. I can feel it, Paul says. I see it. But the power is in the pearl and in the treasure. And that's the engine that causes us to move and change. The kingdom of heaven is like, number one, it's like a treasure. But it's like a treasure hidden. Okay, but it doesn't stop there. Follow through. Then something has to occur and interact with that hidden treasure. What? What comes along? Humanity. A man enters the picture. Ever and always understand creation and God's kingdom was a loving act by the Creator for humanity. The kingdom of heaven is not a vacuum. The kingdom of heaven is so men can have direct communion with God. So there's a chain of events that have to occur. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. Enter humanity. A man comes along, finds it, and he hides it. Number one, it's a treasure. Number two, a man finds it. Then what? And moved by joy at his discovery, he goes. Oh, there it is. I realize that. There it is. Moved by his discovery, moved by joy, Jesus says, he goes. And he does something decisive. He sells absolutely everything he has. What? And he buys that field. You see, in order for the kingdom of God to be actuated, to be a reality, it requires discovery and response. Discovery and response. That's the challenge that the Holy Spirit's going to give you today. Where are you in this scenario? If your faith is joyless duty, you're not moved by joy. If you're trying to be a Christian, you're not moved by joy. The power is in the pearl. The power is in that field, in that treasure. The kingdom of heaven is not just a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure that men enter and find, and then the rest is history, as they say. Things start to happen. The dominoes start to fall. Why? Joy. Maybe there's a few things you need to sell. Maybe there's some idols you need to sell. Some worries and some unforgiveness you need to sell and some unmerciful attitude you need to sell. I do. Again, second one, the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman, only this time, you see, in the first parable, it's as if the farmer stumbles on this treasure. Apparently, he's walking through the field and he stumbles on this treasure. Here, the second parable, this one speaks to me. And I think it might even speak to you. It's like the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. And again, here we go. A sequence of events starts to occur. A chain reaction starts to happen. Seeking beautiful pearls. Wow. Is not the world seeking beautiful pearls? What? What are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for some kind of purpose to my life. I gotta make sense of this. So I have to seek for a reason. And the world seeks for beautiful pearls. I remember I had a patient in a couple years ago, and he knew about Timmy, and he said something to me. He goes, I don't know how you deal with that. I don't know. I could never deal with that. You know, that kind of stuff. I said, it was God, in a word, God. And he said, well, he goes, well, whatever works for you, whatever works. See, that's how the world looks at religion. That's how the world looks at faith. Oh, that's okay for you. If that works for you, that's great. I'm glad for you. For me, it's something else. For me, it's motorcycles. For me, it's square dancing. For me, it's entertainment. But that works for me. And if God works for you, great. I'm happy for you. You see, that's the pearls. And you can plug into the wrong pearl. That's the problem. Because there are a lot of them out there. He's seeking beautiful pearls. He's seeking life's purpose. And when he found one, circle that, one. There's only one. Tommy's got this website, Banter Me. And Teresa was and Tommy were out last night. And discussion about school prayer, I think, something like that. And Teresa was answering, and the person that Teresa was answering said, which God do you worship? Well, that's the world's mentality. Oh, there are a lot of different gods, or a lot of different spokes in the wheel, a lot of different ways to get this fix in your life. And I think Teresa said her answer was, the God that made you. There's only one pearl of immense value. And what's he do? Look at this. He went. Now, here's the question the Holy Spirit has for you. Not Tim, the Holy Spirit. You might come here to Newville. And you might say, well, that was a good sermon. That made me feel good. That brought joy into my life. That gave me some peace today. That's not the point of these parables. I'm sure a lot of people drove right by that for sale sign on Norris Road. And they looked at that piece of property and said, that's a beautiful piece of property. That's so nice to look at. That's beautiful scenery. I'm going to keep right on going. There were people who stumbled on that treasure in the field. You can come and get your fix, and you can even feel joy. But both the farmer and the businessman were moved by such joy that they acted on it. How's your reality going to be this week? Does the world not claw to pull you back into their game immediately, Monday morning? Isn't that the trick? Isn't that the enemy's thing? Because he wants to choke our joy. The world is so good at that. Jesus says, unless that joy moves you to a decisive action, you'll never possess the kingdom and its reality that it has to offer you right now. He went and sold absolutely everything he had. Everything that you've based your life on. And the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and he says, what do I have to do to get eternal life? And Jesus takes a look at him. And he read him perfectly, like he reads me perfectly. And he says to him, you need to go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler says, sell everything. Everything my father worked for. Jesus said, yeah, sell it all. Now there's an idol in your life, I suspect. Or there's some attitude in your life that you need to sell. And buy that field. See, here's the testimony. You know, we tell the world we have this pearl, and we tell the world we have this treasure, and yet, they don't see us selling absolutely everything we have to possess it. There's the testimony. Now, here's my conviction. I need to show you the pearl and the treasure, because what these parables show us, and here's what I can't give you. I can't give my children. I cannot give you vicariously my experience of finding that treasure. I've tried. And that's where I've been wrong. I've tried to give you that joyful, overwhelming experience. And I remember when it happened. Late in life, happened to me. And it was overwhelming. And I was moved by joy. No other reason. Nothing else but joy. Because I realized this reality that Scripture is talking about is a reality. It's a reality that's present here now. I can live there. I can live in a reality where His name is honored as holy, on earth like it is in heaven. I can live in a reality where His kingly rule extends through me here on earth like it is in heaven. I can live in a reality where His will is done. These the merchant and the farmer had to have personal experiences of finding this. You have to have that experience. I can't give that to you. And then, you know what? I won't have to tell you to do anything, because in these stories, nobody tells the farmer, nobody tells the merchant to do anything. You see that? The pearl tells them, the treasure tells them everything they need to do. I look back on my experience and I realize nobody told me then my next step. Because the power lives in the pearl. The power lives in that treasure. And I think I've been putting the cart before the horse. I've been telling you to practice spiritual disciplines. But then I realized the only way and reason you're going to practice spiritual disciplines is moved by joy. Not because I'm up here telling you. I remember I was sitting at a basketball game years ago. And behind me was a father with his son at Clear Fork. And his father wanted this kid to play basketball. This kid was probably about 13. And it was during the varsity game. And the whole time during that varsity game, the father is back there pointing out the fundamentals of the game to this kid. Now, did you see how he reverse pivot there? Did you see how he checked his man out there? Did you see how he squared up before he went to the basket? Did you see how he made a two-handed chest pass and bored the heck out of me? And I thought, well, that poor kid. Dad, get him in love with the game. The rest will follow. You see that? And by the way, kid never played basketball. Fall in love with the joy of finding the treasure and the purpose.